All right, turn with us tonight, if you will, in the Word of God to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Amen. And I want to take a thought tonight. Who are those that are called to the ceremony part of the wedding supper? Amen. And with the message last weekend, it took that message last weekend to bring forth this message this weekend. Now, some of you may not have heard the message yet from last weekend, but last weekend we preached two parts of the marriage supper, the ceremonial part and the consummational part, where it's Christ and bride come together to be one, say. And I went over on the message showing that each nation has a different, and each group of people, each religion has different ceremonial things leading up to the time when the actual marriage take place. And the it changed from time to time, from centuries to centuries, and even now from country to country. Amen. And even from income levels, the ceremonial part of a marriage change. Because some, it's very simple. They go before the preacher or whoever, just say the vows and basically go, and that's the extent of the ceremonial part there. Where others, it takes a lot of planning going into it. And in the Mideast country, sometimes they would have festivals going on for much as 7 days before the marriage ever took place, you know. And Jesus was invited to such a festival when he turned the water to wine, you know, because they were having a festival there, and they were very festivity in the activities, and they were having the wine and enjoying themselves, but all of a sudden they ran out of wine. And I think the world has run out of wine, see. Amen. But Jesus is able to create some more wine out of nothing but plain water. How many knows it? Praise God. So the ceremonial part of a wedding, a marriage, the neighbors, the friends, the relatives, and many others are usually in attendance. See? That's the ceremonial part. It has nothing to do with the consummational part. A marriage is consummated when man and wife come together in the way that God's ordained and be intimate with each other as they, from the Garden of Eden all the way through, it's never changed. The marriage has always been counted as complete when the marriage is consummated. Amen. That's when you go on the honeymoon, say. And just the bride and the bridegroom's there, see. Nobody else. But prior to that, it can be many, many different people involved. I know when Princess Diane and Charles, wasn't it, over in England, they had for several days on TV. They had a ceremony and festivities that was all the world, see. But that wasn't the marriage, see. That was leading up to, and part, that was the ceremonial part. But the marriage hadn't took place yet, see. And the Bible says, blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper. See? And those that are called to the marriage supper are many. As we read last weekend. Now you see why this message to follow that one last weekend, see? Amen. When it was established, there's two parts to a marriage. The ceremonial part, and the consummational part of it. That's coming together, being one. And Christ and the bride, they're the only one involved in that. See, there's only two persons involved in that. The husband and wife, see. Amen. Not a big festival thing with thousands of people involved. Amen. So as we approach this today, we want to say, who are those that are invited to the marriage supper? Amen. Now, as long as you keep it down here in the earthly realm, there's many, many involved in it. Amen. But when that rapture takes place, Christ and the bride goes, then God will reach, He'll raise all those that's part of the bride all the way through the seven church ages. Amen. Then Christ and the bride will go forth. Amen. And they alone. It'll be, the body will be one, because those that are dead in Christ, they'll rise from the dead, and the Word of God says we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and we'll be many members, but one body, see. Hallelujah. We'll have one mind, which is the mind of Christ. So the festivities that goes on before marriage can involve many, many people. Amen. Just like in the days of Jesus, when He went forth and He preached the Word of God, many people were attracted to it. Many times there were so many pressing to get closer to Him, to hear Him, that He had to get in a little boat one time to get a little bit out from shore to speak to Him. It was so many of them. Another time there were 7,000 that followed Him out into the desert. Amen. And He preached the Word of God to them, and He fed them there, see. Amen. How many understand that? He fed them there. He didn't ask if they were good or bad. And He didn't ask if they believed in Him or they didn't believe in Him. They were just as people there coming to enjoy what was going on, believing that they were seeing God move, see. And then at another time, there were 5,000. He did the same thing again. But then when of all the millions that were involved at the day of Pentecost, there were only 120 that saw it with the clarity enough to go up into the upper room and wait for the promise and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it went from there. Amen. And then when Peter and all the other apostles were with Jesus and followed Jesus, saw the miracles and saw everything He did, some of them didn't really know who He was. Amen. Even one, Judas, was not even, he were not even a true seed of God to begin with, because he had other things on his mind. The Bible says he carried the money bag, see. Amen. We can see a lot of them on TV, and I won't get into that. On TBN, they're interested in carrying the money bag. How many will say amen? But Jesus asked them, says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, only one stepped forth with a clear, concise revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Amen. And first of all, they said, some says you're one of the old prophets has raised from the dead. Some says you're John has raised from the dead. And some says this, some says that. But Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Amen. There was only one stood up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it. Showing that whatever ceremonial things take place, whatever activities, spiritual activities take place, and however amount God's blessings fall upon people to the raising of the dead and all those things, still It's only those that can come by revelation. How many will say amen? Amen. So that's the way it is on the marriage ceremony, the ceremonial part of the marriage. There's many, and he goes out and he gets them. We read last week, and I plan to read some of it tonight too. Went out and the hedges and highway called them in. He says, call them in, the good and the bad. Amen. So the good and the bad can eat this thing and enjoy this thing. But those that God foresaw, those that really love God, it'll become a revelation to them. It'll not be just a temporary thrill. But in this hour we're living in, Christ has come back again in the power of His Word. Amen. And there's many people affected by it. And I'm glad that the call went forth. Go get those in the highways and the hedges and gather them in, that my house may be full, see. Amen. That was for the festivity of a marriage, because he said the king's preparing a marriage for his son and he wants his house to be full. Amen. So those that are part of the festivity, you're blessed if you're called to that part of it. Now this all takes place before the rapture of the bride, see. Once the rapture of the bride takes place, then you got one body that is combined from the early church, those that are to make up part of the bride all the way through, see. Then they'll meet in a spiritual realm that the natural world can't come to, see. Amen. Praise God. When Jesus preached the word, he fed all, but there were some that couldn't hear, see. They enjoyed the activity of it, but he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. And the same thing today with the messages on the album binder with over 1,350 messages there. A lot of people will hear and enjoy and rejoice over them. But their son will get a revelation of it. It'll become part of them, and they'll become of one mind and one accord, and it'll feed their spiritual soul. Hallelujah. It'll not be just a thrill of hearing a message, see. Amen. But it'll do something for their soul. It'll begin to build in. They will become part of that word. They'll become one with that word, and that's what make a husband and wife becoming one with one another, see. Amen. And that is taking place as we speak, see. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. And there's a special garment prepared for his wife. Amen. Those that came into the festival, there was garments prepared. White garments, they were called wedding garments. And each one that came in, each individual, got one of those. Amen. But the bride, she is clothed with fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of God. And only she has that on. Praise God. So, we'll get and read that a little bit, just a little more. But the fact is, I want to say this. You see, why this message follows Sunday's message. How many sees it? This message follows Sunday's message. And Sunday's message had to come before this one because it differentiated the two parts of the wedding ceremony. Hallelujah. And it has to be differentiated before this can lay in there. Amen. It must be differentiated that the ceremonial part of it is not the consummational part. Amen. The ceremonial part of it, all the folks come together and rejoice and has God's righteousness to a point. Amen. Which would signify the foolish virgins. See, they come right up to the door. Fact is, right before the rapture, they'll begin to see more and more, there was more to the message than just some words, see. Amen. Because this, what you're in today is very, very, very spiritual And it takes a spiritual mind to become one with Christ. It takes a spiritual person to unite and be of one mind and one accord. And His will is your will. His thoughts are your thoughts. Amen. His aims are your aims. And there's no difference between your thinking and Christ's thinking, because Paul said you have the mind of Christ. See? Amen. But then there's other groups that enjoys the Word, enjoys the Bible, enjoys sermons. Amen. But somehow it just don't seem to go as deep with some, because they want to enjoy this and go on their way. See? Amen. And some want to come to the marriage in order to get plenty of good eating. Amen. And as the message we read last weekend, it says there that he said, I've already killed my fatted calf, and I've already killed the ox, and all things ready. Go out, and the marriage of my son's taking place. I want my house full. So go out in the highways and hedges and get them in. Amen, because the king wanted it to look good while his son were being married. And that's what's taking place now. Praise God. Amen. We're being married to Christ and nothing to the Holy Spirit, to the eyes of Almighty God as He looks down and see the bride. Nothing looks better than you do. Hallelujah. There, you can't look no better. Amen. When you come together, He looks at your spirit, one mind, one accord, one aim, one desire in life. Amen. You love Jesus with all your heart, and He and He alone is the director of your life. Praise God. There's the bride right there. Can you say amen? Amen. But a lot more is involved. Now, it started when God sent a prophet messenger to the age, and to give a cry, and he went around and around the world seven times, bringing us to the Word, saying, get back to what the early church taught. Get back to what Paul preached. Get back to what Peter preached. Get back to the faith of the fathers. And that was years ago. Amen. It have gathered many people as it went on, but God's Word keep on coming down. It's getting more intimate, getting closer to being intimate with Christ all the time, see. Amen. And many has come so far, and that's as far as they want to come. They want to enjoy the fatted calf. They want to enjoy the wine. They want to enjoy the festivities. Amen. But they really don't want Him to become your all in all, your very own life, see. Paul said, we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. But yeah, it is not me that live. He said, but Christ liveth in me. It's Christ living His life through me. Amen. That's becoming one with Him. That's the conclusion of the ceremony of the wedding. And that has begun to take place in a major way in the very time we're living in. It's beginning to be concluded in a major way that you're becoming one with Christ. Now that leaves here of people that have been exposed to this, people that even loves it. You know, a lot of people there can go, we had this church worship a while, that church worship this week, that church worship this week, and that one worship next week. And everyone teach a different thing, say. Amen. But the Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians that when we reach the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus, we become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Amen. And get that point, says we're no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, we're settled. We know exactly where we're going. We know exactly what we believe. We know exactly what we're doing. And we got joy unspeakable and full of glory, though the storm rages around us. So, I'm going to read here now, and in the book of Revelation, 19th chapter, and I'm going to read verse 7 through 9, I believe. It says, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Now watch this next verse particularly. And to her, as the marriage began, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. In other words, unto her alone was given the righteousness of God, say. That righteousness that makes you as holy as He's holy. Jesus said no one can go to heaven or enter in unless you as holy as your Father which is in heaven is holy. Well, that takes it totally out of any human realm or thoughts of human realm, because that puts us in a realm of impossibilities that's unreachable. Amen. But that was one that reached it for us. Amen. Jesus Christ, He came, and the Bible says in Him, in His mouth was found no guile, neither sinned, nor was guile found in His mouth. And He went to the cross and died for us, and He took our sins, and Paul said He gave us that righteousness, so that makes us as righteous as He's right, because He took our sins and gave us His righteousness. He took our sins and died and paid for them on Calvary, the only one that could, see, because one sinner couldn't die for another sinner. It took one without sin to pay the sin debt. And the Word of God said He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So to believe one part of that means you got to believe the other to get the full benefit. Many people believe that Jesus died for our sins. And that's the basis of all religion, especially in the Christian realm. But very few believe that He gave us His righteousness, that we're as righteous as He's righteous. Our righteousness don't count at all because He gave us His. See? Amen. Therefore, we stand clear, stand before the devil, stand before all opposition. Amen. With the righteousness of God, with a 100% uncondemning consciousness. And the Bible said we should have no more remembrance of sin because it was all paid for at Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. We weren't born, but the foreknowledge of God saw that we would see it and believe it and accept it. So that's the righteousness He gives His bride, see. It's totally 100% without works. We can't do anything to make it better because it's perfect when we get it, see. Amen. Whatever we do to make it better, try to make it better, we would probably be confused in the grace of God, because Paul said, we do not frustrate the grace of God. Because if righteousness were by the law or our works, then Christ died in vain. We just accept, I am righteous because He was. Amen. Amen. I am what He is. And now that we've been married to Him, united to Him, we become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, word of His word, spirit of His spirit. Amen. And our life's just as eternal as His. And we are the bride of Christ on display in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. Do you believe it? All right. Now, that's the bride. But He goes on. He says, and He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are true faith, true saying. Amen. Now He said, there's some, they're called, you're blessed if you're called to the marriage supper, see. And the marriage supper, it's taking place here, amen, in the ceremonial part of it, see. Now that's very important to understand. Now the conclusion part of it, the consummational part of it, amen, it takes place in a spiritual realm that's unreachable by mortal man. Amen. Amen. Only that can be reached by God bring you there. Hallelujah. As you surrender your heart and soul to Him totally, amen, and become one just like the little book that come down from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was told to take the little book and eat the little book. Hallelujah. And I believe that God has materialized the little book for the whole world to eat from if they desire. Amen. But only the spiritual bride of Christ by revelation will get the little book that will get the contents of that spiritual book that come down to heaven and receive the full benefit of it to translate them and make them one with Christ. Hallelujah. And we have already been translated. The Word of God says in Colossians 1:13 that we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, of the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, that has nothing to do with this carcass we're living in. The carcass don't get changed till Christ gets ready to raise. He's going to raise the dead that's died before us, even before this carcass is changed. Hallelujah. But when they raise from the dead, they're going to see one thing. They're going to see a perfect bride, united to Christ, married to Christ by revelation. Hallelujah. And they'll blend and become part of it, and one body will go up. One bride will leave this earth to meet Him in the sky, and there to enjoy the marriage supper with all the rest from the ages on down through. Hallelujah. Not the ceremonial part. Amen, but the consummational part. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen, and it's not the part where everybody can come to eat and enjoy and drink and in Jesus' wedding that He attended in the natural here. They came and said, when they ran out of wine and Jesus turned the water to wine, it was the best they've ever drunk. So they came to the man and said, that was giving a wedding feast for his son, or however it might have been, the details. I don't go into a lot of details at that point on this particular one. But they said, every man does set forth the good wine first. And when men are well drunk and when they get in a festive spirit, then they'll slip the other end that's not quite as good. And they're never going to know any difference because they're rejoicing, enjoying themselves. But says, thou hast done right the opposite. What are you trying to pull on? Says, you've saved the best to the last. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm telling you, He saved the best to the last. Amen. And we've got some wine with some kick to it, we'd say. Amen. Not that old watered down stuff. Amen. It's straight from the barrel. Amen. It's good. Now see, blessed are those that are called. There's been people, He's been calling for this gathering together in this last day. Amen. And it produced a large group of people marching in a wedding march. Amen. Are they the bride? Some of them are. Amen. But it's clearly revealed that some of them are not. Even though they're enjoying the benefits of it. And you're blessed if you can see enough to march in it. And to be in it, you have to have heard the cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen. And that cry was sounded forth by the messenger of this church age. Amen. As he came forth and cried, amen. And the wedding march began. Though all of them was asleep. They were asleep as to the time they were living in. They were asleep to what was going on. They thought they could join a church and have a protracted revival, they call. And once a year, the church in our area have a week's revival and get people in, get them saved, and the rest of the year go ahead and do what they wanted to. But here come a man with something more serious. We're at the end time. The bridegroom's coming. Amen. That was crying. It woke them up. And that was some that was glad to be awakened. They thrilled them that we are this close to the end, that we're fixing to be raptured out of here. Amen. That this thing is coming to what? It's coming to what was prophesied all the way through a church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. Amen. That's bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. Word of his word. So as they raised up and started, there were some found they didn't have sufficient oil. Amen. They didn't make that previous preparation. Amen. They thought that they had enough oil in their lamps. And so they said, why pray more? Why try to be too religious? Some people tell Barbara and I, said, Benji and Barbara need to get alive. Because we spend a lot of time on what we're doing. Well, I can say, well, honey, we've got a life. Amen. It's that life of Christ. We've died and let the life of Christ living through us. That's the life. And we're not really concerned about any other life. Amen. But what they mean, go on vacation, go to Disney World and go to these places and all these things, you know. In other words, be gone and be, you're too serious about things. No, I'm not serious about it. This is what I am. This is who I am. And this is where I'm contented. This is where I'm satisfied. Amen. Because my life come down from above, see. Hallelujah. And I'm not of the world. Praise God. That for we're, and I'm finding there's other people the same way. As we come closer and closer to the end time, we see things falling apart all around us. There's people, the Word of God teaches that one of these days that the wealthy will be as the poor and the poor as wealthy, and it's beginning to get that way. Amen. But our life is somewhere else, and we're rich, beyond rich, on the things of God. And that's what satisfies me, because the world's falling apart. Amen. Like the little sparrow, sitting there with all the troubles going on around, just smiling. Amen. That's the way the bride is. Praise God. So we've come down here, we've finished up our journey now. We've come through the Lord Himself to descend in heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. Sits at the trump when the dead raise, see. Amen. And that's the time we're at now. The trumpet is sounding. Glory to God. Amen. And there's a people now that have come into one mind with Christ. They're entering into that intimate part of the marriage where Christ and them has become one. It's the consummation. Amen. See, when you reach the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus, remember the message not too long back where I preached about the ministry and so forth, till we all come into unity, till we reach the perfect stature of the man Christ Jesus, till, and then it's not just the fivefold ministry, it's all of us together. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, see. Amen. It's the spirit of prophecy come among. And prophecy is deep revelation of thinking and talking and preaching. Amen. And that's what God's doing in this hour. A great and mighty and a wondrous thing. Praise God. So who are they that are called to the marriage supper? Amen. When you're speaking of the ceremonial part, the festivity part, it's all those that love the things of God. All those that are interested in the things of God. All those that have begun to see these things of God. But not necessarily those that have become one with Him. Those are the one that goes into the ceremonial part. Amen. Now, I am compelled to read again some here in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew's, since we've spoke this way on this to bring in to let us see more clearly, and I believe this is of God, these two messages will go together like husband and wife, Christ and the bride, the consummation of the marriage, say. Amen. It's an understanding we have. Thank God He didn't leave us ignorant. Thank God we're not in a ship out on the sea that's adrift and depend on the wind. Whichever the wind blow, that's the way we're going. No, but we're on a set course. Hallelujah. And our course has been charted out very well. Amen. And we got a guidance system that's fail-proof. Hallelujah. Amen. It's guiding us right to the port that we're to land up in, and that's right to be in the complete marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been out on the sea in winds. I know God has let me experience it. Went be out on the sea in big waves, out on a cruise ship, big waves, and it just tossing and turning, and have perfect peace. Amen. Go up on the deck and watch and enjoy the big white caps hitting it, coming up on it, would probably be up on it 2-3 stories high. Amen. And just thanking the Lord for giving me this experience. Amen. Like this. Glory to God with perfect peace. And that's the way it is now, that we're sometimes seem like the old ship's tossing a little. Amen. The white caps rolling in, we just smile. Amen. Because we know that all things work together for good, and we're going to wind up at the right place at the right time. Amen. With perfect peace in the Lord. Amen. Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Amen. Do you love Him now? Now, in Matthew's 22, now this is something that we went over the other week, but I want to, since I said this, I want this to be crystal clear in our mind, because it's been such a debate over the marriage supper. Is it going to take place this side tribulation, or on the other side of the tribulation, or somewhere else? Amen. So I believe this will be good for us to get it clear in our mind. Amen. Once the rapture takes place, it's only involved Christ and His bride. All the festivities and activities take place prior to the marriage, not after. Amen. After the marriage takes place, it's a honeymoon. Just you and her and everybody else better step aside. Amen. Amen. When you go on honeymoon, you don't take your mom-in-law and your father-in-law and six of your brothers and four of your sisters along with you, do you? If you do, it's probably something wrong there somewhere. Yeah. Amen. The festivity is over by that time. Amen. I'm sure that each one of you, when you got married, had certain festivity things like a wedding, the ceremony, and people coming, and food, and all. And one preacher told me, so I like to go to weddings because I can get to eat plenty there, you know. Amen. Well, that's all festivity, but it has nothing to do with him and her. See, this dealing with him and her now. Amen. The festivities are winding down, see. It's come to where it's just him and her. And her is part of it, raised up from the dead. I had a dream just before I came up here. I don't know if it would be of significance or not, and I just leave dreams to see. Tell them as a dream, then let God, if it's something more, it will come into being. But in the dream there, we were coming out of this building, Barbara and I, and I looked across the street, and here comes Joyce. And Joyce, you know, she was my first wife. Everybody knew, most of you knew Joyce. She passed away in 95. And Barbara and I was married in 2000. And we were coming out there, and here comes Joyce. Barbara's on one side and Joyce on the other. And they both just kind of got me by the arm, and they looked over and smiled at each other. And we was walking through there smiling. Amen. Both of them just as happy as they could be. Seem like this is where we need to be, right here, see. Amen. I believe we're getting close to something, folks. Amen. I believe we're getting close to something. We're the dead in Christ. We're going to... See, they're going to begin to appear among us before we're ever translated physically. Because the Word says the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And then we'll be changed. And then all together. Now, here's the intimate part. Nobody's here but the bride and Christ. No brothers, no sisters, no kin folks. The party's over now. Amen. All the activities is over. All the ceremonies is over. It's just you and her then. Amen. So Christ picks his bride up. Amen. And up there while the tribulation going on and all that. But I want to show you the king here was going to have a wedding, and God's going to have a wedding for his son. Amen. And in the wedding, there's a lot of people involved. Amen. And the bridegroom has friends. See, like John was a friend of the bridegroom, say. Amen. And there's a lot of people involved that's going to go right on through and come out. We'll see them on the other side, the great tribulation. Amen. And we'll rule and reign that great millennia. Amen. But the activities is over with. Because the wedding, all weddings, and you'll have to get last week's message to get some of this. All weddings, unless it's a little country, someone just goes to the preacher's house or something to get married. See, sometimes it happens that way, and that's all right. No problem with that. But normally, the wedding is a festive event. And as I said, sometimes it's 3 days of a festive, sometimes 7 days, and sometimes it can go on for a month. Just festivities, you know. Amen. But yet, all is pointing to one day. When the preacher says, do you take this man or this woman to be your wife? And say to her, do you take this man to be your husband? And so on. Then, it's no more festivities then. Party's over. Yeah. Amen. Somebody clean up after the party. Amen. But now that's where we come to the festivity. We've had all these festivities, and we've had our churches, churchanity, and this preacher believed this a little bit, and that preacher believed that a little bit, and it didn't particular matter too much, you know. But when you, just him and her, it does matter. How many knows it? Amen. With him and her, it does matter. Glory to God, because you're not marrying her and four of her sisters. Amen. Is that right? Praise God. So let me read here. I'm in Matthew's 22, and I'm going to just begin verse 1. And you say, now this would be a kind of a replay, but it'll be good for us. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again in parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not obey. Amen. So we see here those that were bidden. Now this, of course, this overlap, it has to do with the whole scope of things, Christ. It was the Jews. They were invitation given, but they wouldn't come, say. Amen. So, it says, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Say, amen. The Jews had no much interest in the Gentiles, God's son getting married. Fact is, they didn't really believe his son anyway. Amen. How many knows it? So, here's what happened. And the remnant of his servants, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. The 12 apostles, at least 11 of them was killed, I believe. And when the king, which represents God, heard that thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Of course, that's when Jerusalem destroyed in 70 A.D. Amen. God just hired the army of the Romans to do it and give them the gold of the temple for their hire. Amen. And there was many Jews there when Josephus writing about it, one of the Roman generals walked out on the wall, and he looked over where they'd throw, where they'd starved to death, and throwed them over the wall, and 600,000 was thrown on the wall. He said, "This is not my doings, God. This is your doings," because they rejected it. Amen. But in them rejecting it, it came over to the Gentiles. See, but the marriage were not called off. Amen. See, the marriage weren't called off because they wouldn't come. The marriage has been on and now has almost been completed, see. Amen. So he says here, going on reading, says, "Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready." In other words, as we said last week, we're going to have a wedding. One way or another, we're going to have a wedding. Those that didn't want to come is not going to stop the wedding. Amen. Some people like stop this wedding, but it can't be stopped. The wedding's on, see. We're going to have a wedding. Praise God. Let the wind howl, the storm rage. We're going to have a wedding. So that's what the king says, the wedding. We're going to have a wedding, he says here. The wedding is ready. We're ready, and we're going to go straight, full speed, straight ahead. It was spoke with determination that we're going on. And that's what this king said, we're going on with a wedding. They didn't stop us, see. So he, but they which were bidden were not worthy, see. It was off for them. It's over with. The Jews are not going to be in the wedding. How many sees that? They're not going to be in the wedding. They're not going to even be called back until after the wedding is all fixed up and took place and the rapture take place. Then God's going to send two prophets to them. Amen. So they weren't worthy. They're not going to be in it, see. I tell you, this is something the Jews are not involved in. Amen. Whether they like us or hate us or call us Gentile dogs. Amen. And I know a lot of Jews. I ain't going to say nothing much. But they don't speak well of us sometimes because we believe in Jesus, you know. And of course, I could go into some of the things they would say about it, but I'm not. But some of them would curse and spit when you tell them Jesus is the king. They'll let you know right quick, Jesus ain't their king. He's not the Messiah. We're waiting for our Messiah. When he comes, he's going to come in riding on a white horse. Or he's going to come and take over. The mountain's going to split and all these things. Taking Old Testament prophecies. Well, that's like he's done come and got his bride and gone and come back. Yes, all those things are going to take place. Amen. So they weren't worthy and they're not going to get to come. And then here's why he gave another charge. Go, therefore, unto the highways let me get over, get a little more light here. You got to put a little light on the subject sometime, don't you? Amen. Go, therefore, into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Now, he didn't say just the go get the bride and bid to know. He said, go in the highway, go to the Gentile. And as many as you find, tell them come on to the marriage. Because my son and his wife are going to get married and we're going to have a nice deal here, see. So go get them. And then he furnished some robes for them and so on so that all look good and perfume so that all smell good and all those kind of things. Amen. Some might not have had a bath in a long time, but in order to get into the wedding, they were blessed. So the king furnished a foot wash flunky to wash their feet and a nice robe to put on and all these things. When the king looked at them, it wouldn't matter if they're millionaires or somebody that got off the street. They all looked the same. Except one man that slipped in at a window somewhere. He heard that was the cows was killed and the oxen was killed and they had plenty of wine. And so he wanted to get there. So he crawled in some other way. And they came in and found he didn't have a wedding garment on. They threw him out, see. Amen. That represents the tares, you know. Amen. But as he sent for him here, he said, told us, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Don't call in and just bring them all. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests or filled with guests. Amen. Now a lot of people stumble a bit on this bad and good. Well, this is our festivities. That's not the bride, because they were getting filled the wedding parlor here. Amen. And those that were bad, his hope were that they'd become good before they got out of there, see. Amen. That's why we come to the house of God. We say, whosoever will, let come on, bring them on. Somebody say, well, I'm not right with God. I don't know if I should come or not. You're the one we want to come. Amen. Glory to God. You might just get the wanting that you might just be hear something make you want to be in this wedding. Amen. And you can get in up till the last moment. Amen. When the chains take place and the dead ride and the chains take place, it's already too late then, see. Amen. But he sent and got the good and bad. Now the good and bad is not the bride here. Amen. How many sees that? She's 100% goodness because God has given her a revelation of His righteousness. And she knows that it ain't what she has done, will do, or is doing. But it's based on one thing and one thing alone. It's what He did for her at Calvary. And then He took her sins and gave her His righteousness. And that settles the matter. Amen. But all these came to the wedding. Amen. And when the king came in to see the guests, not the bride now. Notice that. When the king came in to see the guests that were invited to the marriage. See, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. Amen. In other words, all of them had the white garment that he prepared of whatever color. But here's a man didn't have one on. He knew he slipped in some other way. Amen. He didn't want to come through the bath house. Too lazy to take a bath again. Too lazy to get cleaned up a little bit for it. Amen. So he said, I'm just going to get my belly full of that cow and oxen and then a jug of that wine. I'm out of here. You know, but he got out of there ahead of time. Now, this is not the bride, so this represents a tare in the midst, see. And then it says here, when the king saw a man without the wedding garment, he said unto him, friend. He could have known him, but he might have just said friend, being polite, because he was the king. He said, friend, notice this here. How comest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I don't blame him. Wasn't much else he could do, was it? He said, bind them hand and feet and cast them out. Amen. Now this he sent out in the highways and hid to get guests. That his house would be filled with guests for a marriage. This is not the bride. Amen. But it is the ceremonial part of the greatest wedding there'll ever be. Amen. How many sees it? The greatest wedding. And so all those that are called are blessed. Amen. If I wasn't the bride, which I am, I'm glad, I believe you are, I tell you, I'd feel good sitting there in the king's presence. Amen. And had plenty to eat. I'll tell you, you get around this message, you got plenty to eat. Hallelujah. And plenty of wine to give you stimulation. But let's get on the inside of the inside and let it become part of us and say, this is good. This is something that the whole world, we're blessed to be here. But I want to go on and be the bride. Amen. I just don't want to be a bridesmaid. I want to be the bride. Amen. Don't want to play second fiddle. Amen. How many see thee here? Glory to God. So blessed are those that are called to the marriage. Amen. It says, but the bride unto her, he specifically says unto her, making a difference, specifying her. Unto her was given fine linen. Now, you go to a wedding, you ain't going to see all the guests, all the ladies there with fine linen and a big wedding gown on. Amen. Sometimes a bridesmaid try to outshine the bride. And if it does, everybody knows. So she's trying to outshine the bride. No, that's the bride's day. Let her shine. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Some of us, they buy their own, but a lot of times they'll fix them, all of them. They'll dress all those alike, pretty basically. Less one, a little more wealthy in the group, says, I'll show them what a dress I'll wear. Amen. That's a haughty spirit, isn't it? No, we gather around and support that bride. That's why we're there. It's for her. Amen. And she's dressed in fine linen, the finest money could buy. Hallelujah. With a train 12 foot long. Amen. Glory to God. That's what's taking place. Amen. And all the bridesmaids and everyone else is patting her on the back. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. I'm proud of you. You look good. My, you're the bride of the year. Hallelujah. Or the bride of the city. Amen. Everybody's backing her up if it's right. But they got a bridesmaid in there that's want to outshine and outdo the bride, then she needs to be back in the back seat somewhere. Amen. Is that right? Amen. That's what this is about, the bride. These guests here, they were happy to be there because they were furnished plenty to eat and plenty to drink. Amen. Amen. And remember where they came from. Highways and hedges. Amen. Gather all you find. Some good, some bad, but bring them all home. Let's see what happens. Amen. Glory to God, because they're going to see something here. They're going to see a wedding. They're going to see a bride walk out that's going to stun the world. She's so magnificent. God's going to put her on display. Amen. Well, you take that and you turn on over to Matthew 25. And it tells how it went. Then there's other scripture we're not going to get tonight. Don't want to hold you all that long. And this here is something, it caps off the message we brought the other week, see. And makes it blends it together. It marries together. These two messages is married together like husband and wife. Amen. That's why we got some of the same scripture in each one of them. One mind, one accord, see. I want to read here a little bit in Matthew 25. Amen. But then, they get down, get to a point. Amen. Those wise virgins, they got what it takes. Amen. But the rest of them come along. Amen. Now, this man we've read about, I didn't go ahead and read it, but it says, cast him out. And so there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The one that didn't have the wedding garment. But it does not speak thus of the foolish virgins. Because they're right up town. They're right up with the bride. They're right up real close. The only difference is he didn't know them intimately. They didn't go through the... They went through the ceremonial part, but not the consummational part. That's becoming one with him, see. He said, I know you not. But he didn't cast them out where they're weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. No. They've well prepared for a job that's lying ahead. We're going out of here soon in a rapture. Amen. But we've left behind a people, amen, that can take this word and just keep right on going. Amen. They just didn't quite feel it was all that serious, see. Amen. In other words, they didn't become intimate with Him. Do you understand? Amen. They came up to the door, but they didn't. They didn't go all the way with the Lord. Let's see here now. Amen. All right. I was looking for Matthew 25. All right. I'm going to read now. If you criticize me for reading this in recent times, all right, you need it. Paul said to say the same thing twice to me is not grievous, but for you it's needful. Amen. Is that right? Amen. The man and wife coming together intimately, see, becoming that's what the church in Christ is doing today. It's no longer just come and have a meeting. Amen. How many knows? It's not just come and meet and having church, they call it. Amen. It's coming to meet with Him, to talk with Him, to be intimate with Him, to be the bride. Amen. So He says here, then, this is after the seventh angel sound forth his message, God began to gather together, put us in a stream. Amen. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. All 10 of them, no difference. There was no visible difference in them at this time. All the same. Amen. And then it says, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. It hadn't been made manifest, but it will on them. But they that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had a vessel and a lamp. They took oil in the vessel. That means they had that little extra. Amen. When you preach, you can tell. Some got that. They just love every bit of it. I got a letter from Canada. A lady says, oh, what would I give if I could just sit in one of those services? What would I give? Amen. Brother Ian throws them out because it feels like I'm in service, right there in service, because he gets the message the same day it's preached. Amen. This is real. Amen. Praise God. How many knows it? Amen. This is oil. Amen. To make our lamps burn. It's Word. Praise God. And then he says here, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept and slumbered. Slumbered and slept. Amen. The wise as well as the foolish. They kind of drift off sleep. And at the midnight hour, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now, in order to see this group of people and what's going on, you have to realize what the midnight cry was. And it's clear what the midnight cry was. It was a message that God sent, a shout, to wake them up. Amen. And that's those that will be involved in this wedding. Now, in the end time, there are three groups of people. There's a bride, there's a foolish virgin, and there's tribulation saints. There's many saints out here in denominational religion that have been born again. If you're born again, you got eternal life no matter what, see. You can't be born again twice. But the foolish virgin, when as soon as the rapture takes place, they're going to become a powerful witness. Amen. Because they have been waking up, they know what's going on, they realize the bride's gone. But there's a people sound asleep in organized religion that knows nothing has happened. God will anoint 144,000. Amen. They'll go forth and at the middle of that 70th week of Daniel, after the bride's been gone 3.5, they'll begin to preach, come out of her. They'll begin to preach, don't bow down to the beast, but give glory to God and honor Him. Amen. They'll pour out by the millions, and many will be killed for their stand, for coming out and standing just with the Word that was brought to them for that hour. Oh, I'm getting too long here. Okay. All right. At the midnight hour, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, every one of them. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, King James says, and most versions says going out. It says, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Now notice all of these were involved in it. But all of them didn't go into the marriage, see. Amen. Didn't mean these others wasn't saved or anything. They were very much saved. Amen. But they just had that liking of becoming intimate with him. As we'll see in the next few verses here. The bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. I mean, that's the marriage has taken place. And then he says here, afterward came also the other virgin. They're still virgin. They didn't get out and defile them. Saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That's intimate. He hadn't been intimate with them. Because they held something in reserve. They weren't willing to jump in. So these other virgins, they were good. And they were wonderful people. Amen. But they just wanted to get their toes in the water, so to speak. Amen. They wanted to be around it. And they were. And they were virgins. They were pure. And they believed it. But somehow or another, they just didn't want to really give themselves over to him. Because he knew them not, see. How many say amen? Amen. But they were, this is, represents the same group that they're in the wedding march. They're called. Now all the ceremony is over when he takes her in and the door is shut. No more ceremony. Then it's him and her. Say, amen. All this takes place before the rapture. Praise God. And the rapture takes place then, and it leaves the situation there. So blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper. Blessed are those that are called to the ceremonial part of the marriage supper. Amen. Now, he reached and gathered all of them together. And then you talk about a supper, a feast, or whatever. Amen. And we're feasting good tonight. On the little book, take and eat. And we're eating. And a lot of people maybe are nibbling around on it a little bit, but God has materialized it so that we can have it. The whole world can read it if they like, hear it if they like. Amen. But to eat it. See, they all was marching. They were all virgin. But some were not intimate with him. Amen. They were liking in the oil and so on. But they came and they said, yes, 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 I believe I do want that. After everything, after the world began to fall apart and everything began to crumble around, they realized that's the only thing. Amen. But he said, I know you not. I haven't been intimate with you. Can you say amen? Do you see it? Amen. And then here's what it said. I know you not. Afterward came the other, and he said, I know you, watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I want you to notice that. He did not say, take these foolish virgins and cast them into outer darkness. No, he didn't. He said, you got to be watching. Because these things come up on you and you don't realize it. It says it'll come as a thief in the night. And we preach him as he came as a thief in the night. Amen. How many knows it? He came as a thief in the night and was intimate with his bride while the others knew him not. That means they just soaked that word. They lived in it. They swam in it. Swam in it and they ate it and they become part of them. It was the very own life. And it nothing else in life mattered much but Christ. The Word. The power of God, the blessings of God, the peace that passes all understanding, just to know Him. I shall know Him. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, I shall know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Amen. I shall know Him. Get that. I shall know Him. Do you know Him? Glory to God. Amen. So we're the bride's not fighting with the other virgins. And the other virgin, actually, they're not so envious of the bride either. Amen. Fact is, they go and try to get the same thing she's got. I'm going to be just like you are. I'm going to believe just like you do. I want my revelation to be just like your revelation. Well, then there's some dedication come with it. Eat the little book. It's sweet in your mouth, bitter on your stomach. Sometimes you have to make a decision that's kind of bitter. Amen. But when it's all said and done, it's sweet. It's sweet to know Him. Amen. Do you love Him? Praise God. Amen. 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 I shall know Him. I'm glad I do know Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give Him a good praise here. Lord, we praise You. We honor You. We love You. We thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen.